This is a free Off The Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off The Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The LOI Pod on Off The Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off The Ball all season.
You are very welcome to this week's Off The Ball with Stephen Doyle as ever, and I will be joined shortly by the two main men, Vinnie Peart and Gareth McLean. But before that, let's have a listen to what happened on Off The Ball last Friday night.
There's a lot of fight on the line tonight as well. We talk about derbies, but both sides, a draw is no real use here. 3 points, absolutely pivotal for both sides.
Yeah, you're 100% right, and you alluded to it where Drogheda are looking up at Dundalk. Drogheda badly need a point, you know, to stay out of promotion relegation battle that they're in now at the moment. You know, Dundalk, for their point, need to stay at the top, finish the fourth at least to try to get Europe, you know, hopefully one of the top teams win the cup.
Not quite by design, but it's going to lead through to a follow-through from Horgan, who's done brilliantly. Horgan across the goal, and they're out of absolutely nothing. It's a howler at the back, but Dundalk at the breakthrough. Horgan simply did not give up, and Dillon gets a goal in the derby.
Abaji now might break on this breaking ball, cuts in from the right hand side, still going to Abaji, encouraged to shoot, rolls the ball down the line, here comes a shot.
Oh, it's squeezed into the net. It's an equaliser here at the near post. Angelin, who's a crowd favourite, should he have squeezed it in? That's the question mark, but he most certainly has. It's 1-1 here in the Louth derby.
Sides cannot keep a clean sheet for love or for money, as now it is Brandon Kavanagh, chips one towards the back post.
Brandon Kavanagh with the sandwich into the top left hand corner. It's a delicious goal. It's the home side in front. Brandon Kavanagh, take a bow. He's digged in over everyone into the top right hand corner.
Morgan again down by the byline, left hand side, looking for some options. That's a club too far. Grafowski in an acre of room drills it across, and there it is. It's 2-2. Right foot of Horgan, left foot of Burns. It's a four-man wall for Drogheda United as Luke Dennison what's on as Horgan strikes. Oh, what a goal! Daryl Horgan into the top right hand corner. It's a peach of a goal, and is that victory in the Louth derby for Dundalk?
Listen, I think last week we had 75% possession, 10 corners to 0, 26 shots to 5, and found ourselves 2-0 down with 5 minutes to go, and we deserve to be because they were better in both boxes. I'm learning, the lads are learning quickly about the fine margins of the detail, and we were getting hurt, and to be fair, we were staring down the barrel tonight at half time of being hurt again. Maybe it suited us coming in for a change with, you know, nothing to lose, everything to gain approach. You know, in the previous games against them, we've come in a couple of times leading, and this time we were the ones doing the hunting instead of being hunted, and maybe it suited us for a little bit. And I'm delighted, a lot of firsts there tonight as well. Like, it's a first win since Thomas come to the club. It's a first win for Igor, even Trevor. I know he came off at half time, a first goal for Keane. It's our first win in a while. It gets us up to 40 points. There's a lot of positivity around it for our first season back, and I'm just delighted for the lads.
And obviously, I'm not sure if you had a chance to look, but Waterford won tonight at St Pat's as well. It's a tight situation right now, isn't it?
It is, and as I said in my Virgin interview, look, we're well used to it, like, you know. I don't know what people's expectations are, because they shouldn't be, but it is what it is. We have to make the best of what we have, and we've done a good job of it over the last number of years. Obviously, people are disappointed where we are. That's grand, and they can be as disappointed as they want. But we have to just stick together and try and, you know, look, we'll probably park it for a couple of weeks, and we'll be in the cup next week.
Yeah, that was Kevin Doherty, the Drogheda United manager, speaking to Jonathan Higgins, who was on commentary duty alongside Owen Heary for that game on Friday night. And you also heard before him the Dundalk manager, Kieran Kilduff. State of play after the results. Well, there were defeats for the bottom two. Sligo Rovers losing 3-0 away to Bohemians. Drogheda losing that Louth derby, so they remain in the bottom two. Sligo on 23. Drogheda 5 points ahead of them. And then 4 points ahead of Drogheda United. are Waterford, who had a very impressive 2-0 win away to St Patrick's Athletic. Galway United and Shelburne drew, so Galway in 7th on the same amount of points as Derry City, who got a draw against Shamrock Rovers on Sunday. Shelburne are in 5th place, a point clear of those two. And then 5 points further ahead are Dundalk after that win in the Louth Derby. They're 10 points off 2nd and 3rd, St Patrick's Athletic and Bohemians. St Pat's, after losing that match, now on the same points as Bows, although having a 4-goal better goal difference. Excuse me. And Shamrock Rovers still top of the table by 5 points and with the game in hand. That is against Shelburne, which will be on Friday night. And we will have that live for you on Off the Ball from 7 o'clock. We do still have the lads there, I hope. I think we've lost Gareth McLean, possibly. But Vinny, you would have heard Kevin Doherty's comments there after the game. Like, they've been on a decent enough run, if not a great run. Did he sound deflated, or even just kind of, it was the thing, well, almost like people are expecting too much of us, was the kind of thing I gauged from his comments there? What did you think about Doherty said after the game?
I think I found interesting, for want of a better word. Like, he sounded browned off a little bit. And look, I've been there where everybody analyzes each other's comments, and that can happen a little bit. But you have to understand, take Kevin, for example. I mean, go back, I think it was me and you, Steve, opened the dock when you were poor in that first half a couple of months back, and you were 2-0 down, and he went very direct. And he came in and done an interview after and made the point that we had to go direct, and people talk about us going direct and all that stuff. And you've just got to own what you are sometimes. I think sometimes there's an element of, from some managers we've seen, where some of maybe Bradley's comments as well this week, Stephen Kenny's done it a little bit, where probably over-explaining and sort of over-justifying that, the likes of comments that the three of us are making, for argument's sake, where just park it and get on with it. And it's not easy to do that, I accept that. But Drogheda weren't good. They're in a difficult situation. And a lot of the results recently have been okay, a lot of draws, but not enough wins for a team like that. And then when a team sets a bar higher than what you expect of them, and get all the plaudits, when you fall off that cliff a little bit, like Drogheda have done, you have to take some of the criticism that comes your way. And that's just the game. And I understand, as a manager, I've received a lot of that criticism, but you've just got to take it, and you've got to be careful that your players listen to every interview now. Everything is put in front of them. Wasn't always the case, but the media exposure we have now means, I think you've got to be really careful the message you're sending out. He sounded so deflated after that game. It was really, really, really interesting listening.
Yeah, and like, the thing is, if they do finish if they do finish second from bottom, Gareth, like, as I said, they're on 28 points. They're 4 off Waterford and 6 off Galway and Derry City. Like, it's not looking great for them in getting out of there, because Waterford's just on such a good run and they keep climbing that table. Like, you wouldn't put it past Waterford to finish above both Galway United and Derry City. And if you look at the first division table, obviously Cork City will come up as champions. Below that, you've got UCD, Bray, Longford, Cove Ramblers at the moment. Kerry still in the fight. Athlone Town still in the fight. Like, is there, like, they, Drogheda United were in this position a couple of years ago. They had to play that relegation playoff against Galway United. Is there just a danger that they slip into a bit of just being a little bit too blasé about this? And, like, if you're on a run of matches where you haven't been winning games, and all of a sudden you take on a first division side, well, the quality, there's going to be a big, big difference in quality between the two teams. You just got to be really careful going into that relegation playoff.
Yeah, listen, there's no doubt about it. I think as well, I mean, obviously Drogheda weren't good, but I think you got to give Dundalk massive credit for the game at the weekend. What a game of football, even for the neutral. They performed really well in a big, big game. And I think that's what's hurting Kevin Doherty the most. That was a great opportunity to really, at a good time when there's still loads of points to play for, to put on a performance, get a result, even albeit a draw, just keep yourself in contention to get out of that second from bottom position. But I agree with you. You can't rely on saying, oh, yeah, we'll be too good for whoever's in the playoff match. And I don't think Kevin Doherty thinks like that. He'll still believe that he can catch Waterford and possibly drag one of the others into it as well. He will want to put up a fight to make sure that he's not in that playoff position again, because it's a tough, tough game. I don't care where the opposition comes from. I've played in games where First Division clubs have come up and give it their all, and we've been beaten. So you do not want to be getting into that playoff game basically thinking that you're going to win. It's a bad state of mind.
Yeah, there are fixtures left in the league. They've got a home match against Sligo Rovers, which is probably good timing for them coming after the cup match against Galway United. Shelburne then are hosts for their match on the 14th of September. Then they go away to Bohemians, and then they're away to Shamrock. That's such a tough run. Away to Shells, away to Bows, away to Rovers, and then home to Derry City. So, yeah, it could be a tough September, October for Drogheda United, Vinny.
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I think it will be stable. I think one of the things in Kevin's voice you could hear was the big moment when Daryl Horgan scored that. Like, if you think about it, it must have hurt so badly. Like, the game, it was late in the game, Horgan in front of the Dundalk fans and your rivals, like us sitting in our little ivory towers in Dublin, particularly the likes of yous, Bowles lads don't realise, think there's only one derby in town. But I tell you what, Steve, well, this one means a lot to the people allowed. And Kevin will know that, and the hurt he would have got out of Horgan's set piece, and particularly, it's brilliant from Horgan, but it's also a mistake from a couple of players, particularly the goalkeeper, let it in a little too early, easy, I would say. So that plays a part in it. It's frustration. So it's really difficult time coming up. But Drogheda are very good at what they do. And it's interesting what you think it is. I think, obviously, the least favourites to finish in that playoff position, Shelburne. But I think from Shelburne all the way down, everybody still isn't safe of it yet, which is fascinating. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe because Shell's two games at hand and they're 35 points and they've got 7 on Drogheda. But I don't believe Shell's, Derry, Galway, Waterford are safe yet because of what Drogheda can do. Would any of the two of you be shocked if Drogheda went and won 3 of the next 4 matches?
No,
other teams have to win games.
You know something, Gareth? Like, and I, as I said, I reeled off the fixtures, saying they're all really hard fixtures. But Finney's got a bit of a point there. Like, if they beat Sligo Rovers, put the cup match to one side for a moment. If they beat Sligo Rovers at home, which I think they will, and then go to Tolga Park, I wouldn't put it past them to beat Shells at Tolga Park.
Well, and there you are, right? So Sligo, you can't take it for granted. There's no match in this League of Ireland, especially this season, that you can turn around and get 3 points. But let's say they do get 3 points. That brings them to 31. Then you're within striking distance of both Shells and Derry City with a couple of games. So I agree with you. But that Tolka Park game is massive. Yes, the Sligo one will take care of itself. I do believe that Drogheda will go there and win, and I think they've got a good chance. Then that game becomes massive for both Shelburne and Drogheda. But again, the other teams have to go away. Waterford, they have to go and do the business in their games as well. And that's what's fascinating about it. I mean, Drogheda weren't in this position 6-7 weeks ago, and it didn't look as if they were going to get dragged into it. They've just gone on an awful run. And again, not performance-wise, just those moments. The Daryl Horgan moments have just gone against them, and they haven't been able to keep the ball out of the net, which is unlike them. So they're in a real dogfight. But what a game of football, boys. I mean, the quality all weekend was incredible. But that game alone produced some magical moments.
Yeah, and look, we'll look ahead to the Cup games in a bit and the Shells Rover game. I'm just going to, and I know I've mentioned this man before a couple of times this season, but my God, Vinny, Daryl Horgan. Like, is anybody coming close to him for player of the season this season?
Oh, but I don't know who was, which one of the three of us said it a couple of months ago. We called this a few months out. I think he's been thereabouts all season long. And I think when players, for example, in the PFAI, when players are starting to fill out their forms now, and sometimes the sort of the recency biasness kicks in on that, But Horgs has been consistent all season in what he's done. He's carried that Dundalk team. Yes, he's been the manager on the pitch, and those that have worked with Darren or played with him wouldn't necessarily put him down as a coach on the pitch, but he is, and he showed huge experience, huge loyalty to the club as well over the last number of years, and they're paying him back in one sense, but he's given, like, what he's given to that club in the last two or three years is phenomenal, because without him, I think they'd be in a lot of trouble. But they're not going to be. They're going to be safe now. I think the win against Drogheda was a real outpouring of emotion from everybody in the whole squad, because, like I touched on Shelbourne down, I think when you're in that situation where you're halfway to something and nothing, Dundalk would have wanted one more win, and they've got 5-6 teams behind them. They're going, they can breathe. They can play with a little bit less freedom, because you just need that win. You haven't had enough of them. But going back to Horgan, like, I think I've said it here on the podcast before, he was the hardest player I've ever had to coach, for one reason only. He kept you on the training ground for hours. He wouldn't give up. And he just wouldn't give up. And genuinely, if anything he's rubbing off on Horrocks, on young players around Dundalk, is how hard he trains. And I haven't been on Dundalk at a training session in years, obviously. I guarantee you, he's still the last person on the training ground. And there's a reason why even a foot player can cross with his left foot so well. And there's a reason why he's so good at coming inside him, bending them towards top corner. Because, trust me, he is. What day is it today? Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, if they're training today, he's still out on the pitch doing that. Honest to God, it is off the charts what he practices.
And funny, even at 34, do you think he's training as hard as all the younger players?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've modern sports science in that, but the biggest, what I said, he was one of the hardest players to coach was, he didn't want to hear any of that. That was all nonsense to him. He wanted to, like, you'd be worried about repetitive strains, because genuinely, if you picture a football pitch, I'd be standing at the corner of the 18-yard box and he'd be coming off the left, bending into the, and he wouldn't finish until he put one into the stanchion. So you could be there for 15 minutes. And then he put one into the stand, you know, like, come on, let's go down, you're done now. I want to do two. And he'd go again. And it'd be that stuff. The following day, it might be bouncing one into me in that similar position, setting him down the left wing and just crossing first time with his left foot. Because he knew he was always going to play that sort of right footed on the left-hand side. And that has gotten a career in England, a decent career. Steve, you might tell me, but it's close to 20 Ireland caps as well. And when you add all them things together, genuinely, Horgs was obviously naturally talented. Like, I was lucky enough to work with Horgs and Michael Duffy, and you couldn't split the two of them, honestly. But Horgs was obviously naturally talented. And it's an old cliche people throw out. I'm telling you, that the work he put on the training ground, that's why he's still doing it at 34.
Yeah.
Not, and I don't mean from a fitness point of view or a condition. It was. Do you remember the goal they scored down in Galway? We try and rustle it out. He's looking like Galway think he hasn't sussed right in the corner flag, the left corner flag. He goes across his right, immediately checks onto the left, whips one in off his left foot, and a Ruby gets across the post, heads it in. That comes from the training ground. Mm. Horgs does you as a fullback because you know he's right foot. And he's just
it's a hunger that gets me. Look at the first goal against Drogheda. It's him that puts Ajibaye under pressure, nips the ball, crosses it, and they score. His numbers are a joke. He started all 28 games, 10 goals and 10 assists. It's some season for him at 34.
It really is. 17 international caps. And look, kids, any younger players watching or listening to the podcast, it's that kind of practice that Vinny talks about that gives you the ability to score the winning goal from a free kick in the 89th minute of a big, big, loud derby. And that's what it all comes down to, isn't it? But anyway, let's move on from Darrell Horgan. I thought we'd give him a bit more love again. Just before we leave the loud derby, a quick one for you lads. You may not be aware of the news, but this is an interesting one. Drogheda United will be playing Trabzonspor in a friendly match in Turkey on October 1st. Now, that's during the international break. So Drogheda United foregoing the extra bit of rest as they head into the last few matches in the league. Now, look, I understand the importance of the links between Drogheda and Trabzonspor. We know there's a lot of history there going back to on Gorta Mór and the links. Obviously, there was a lot of aid sent from Turkey to Ireland during on Gorta Mór, and the links between Drogheda and Turkey, and we know about the badge and all that kind of stuff. So understand the historical reasons for the game. I'm sure Drogheda United will be getting some financial benefit out of this. It's a kind of unusual time for them to be playing the match, though, as well, Vinny. Like, you really hope it doesn't backfire on them going into that last few matches of the relegation battle. It's just maybe not ideal timing for the match, is all I'm saying.
Yes.
Or am I looking at it too negatively? I don't know.
I think if you win the game before or after, then you are. And if you lose Bolton, that's a stick you'll get beaten with as a club. But I think Jared will tell you, as a player, he went on more trips like that than I did as a player. I've done loads of them as a coach. But as a player, it can be a good thing to get away from the noise, get away from the nonsense, go away together, rooming with your mates, having a bit of crack. And once it's scheduled properly and they're not flying in and red-eye and coming home on a red-eye and all over the place sleep-wise, then it can be a really good positive, to be fair. And as a club, you have to respect our history. You've got to respect our sort of what gets you, or what is all about the club, and that link is what it is. So I'd be okay with it genuinely, but it is a potential stick you will get beaten with if it doesn't go well for them around that time. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, John, sorry, Gareth, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with Vinny. I mean, the only thing is, Kevin Doherty will not be taking any risks on anybody that's got Knox or any of the key players. I mean, Trabzonspor will understand if they come with a... I'll give a lot of the fringe players some time as well. And as Vinny said, I think getting away together can be a real motivator, and it can really galvanise people getting on that sticky point of the season. So I don't see it being a bad thing.
The Off the Ball Rugby Roadshow is coming to your province. Armed with the biggest stars from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht, we'll be travelling around the country to preview the 2026-2027 rugby season. Get your tickets while you still can at offtheball.com/events.
Dundalk's next adventure is up to the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium this weekend. Gareth, it's on Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock. Are you a little bit concerned going into this one? Like, what do you think? Look, we know Mark Connolly's in there doing as best as he can. They're still looking for a manager. Doesn't seem to be any indication that there will be somebody in the near future. But just, I suppose, there must be a worry amongst Derry supporters in the way that they collapsed against Bohemians in that second half the previous week, and then again coughing up a 2-0 and then a 3-1 lead last week. You know, coming into this match against Dundalk, it's a big, big cup quarter final. You want to get yourself to a semi final, but there's, I suppose, just concerns about Derry psychologically going into this match.
Yeah, what a game. It's set up lovely. I mean, Derry, to me, since Mark's come in, if you look at the results individually, they've been good, I think, beating, getting through in the Cup of UCD, beating Sligo 2-0. Not a bad performance against Bose, but as you say, gave up a lot of goals. 3-1 up, they missed two chances against Shamrock Rovers, and they are Taylor Smith and Chapman. They go 4-1 up in that game. I know Rovers were still empty on the bench, and it would have turned into a game. I think they go on, they won the game. So the signs that I've seen since Mark Connolly came on board is exactly the signs that I wanted to see. Over the last couple of years, they have kind of moved away from the entertaining football that they're renowned for up in the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Throughout the years, we've always been that team that goes at you. Under Tiernan, it was different. I'm not saying it was wrong or it was right. It's just the way he played football. It was more counter-attack, 3-5-2. It just didn't sit well with me. The fans are much more comfortable watching what we're watching now. But, I mean, what a game coming up. I mean, Dundalk are flying. I mean, you saw them in the match against Drogs. All right, they ended up 3-2. It could have been a little bit more. They created a lot of good chances. Derry are playing a lot more aggressive. The two wingers got a lot more freedom. The fullbacks are getting forward. I like what Mark's been doing. The whole manager situation, I would imagine they're just... I would wish they would come out and tell us, but I would imagine they're going to go with Mark to the end of the season and then try and get someone in. But
is there,
it's a big
is there
opportunity
a rule
match.
Though there, isn't there, like the 60-day rule, you know, being an interim charge? I'm not too sure what the story is there, Vinny, would you?
Yeah, 60 days because of his, he doesn't have a pro license. And I understand where Garrett's coming from and Derry City fans are coming from. But football management is about winning games. So that's you're out on your backside. Against Bowles, you know, follow what you want. I think some of the decision making around, yes, it's on the pitch, but there was a lack of organisation from them set pieces at the start of the second half. They got done off a set piece that Bowles done a couple of weeks before in Europe. So why wasn't that identified? And they probably went defensive a little bit too early in the game good at Agard as well. And these are all managerial decisions that Mark is probably too inexperienced to be making at the moment. And they've got to be careful. And I'm only playing devil's advocate, Gareth, here. People in Derry might
But funny, you can't turn around saying, we know he's inexperienced. That's obvious. Yeah. The way you get experience is by playing matches and learning from your mistakes.
Yeah, but you
how'd
but they, Gareth,
how
yeah.
do you, how'd they have scored the goal and went 4-1 up? They go on, they won the game, and everybody's talking, oh, it's great, it's great, it's great. There's a fundamental change in and around the club, right, that we're feeling as fans. And it's a good thing. And Mark Conley's done that.
Okay.
Agreed, he's not going to win every match. I don't expect him to finish fourth, but there's positive signs there.
Yeah, okay, and that's grand. But my granny had, you know, the old saying, they're still losing these games of football, Garrett. They're on 34 points.
They've lost one game in four. Mark Conley's lost one game.
Garrett, everyone else is winning around them. Garrett, he lost the balls and lost drastically in a 3-4 minute spell. They should have seen out the game against Shamrock Rovers, who were topside, blah, blah, blah. And if we had scored this goal, they're on 34 points. 34 points.
Yeah, but that's not Mark Conley's fault.
No, I know that. But the problem is, on 34 points.
You're talking about Mark Conley.
Yeah, of course I am. Because on 34 points, and I might look foolish in 2 weeks' time, I'm okay with that. 34 points, you're comfortable to give an inexperienced manager the reins of your club when you've got Waterford flying and dropping a bit of know-how behind them and they're level on points with Galway United. You better be careful what you wish for. And you can say it's nice and easy on the eye and it's, fans are happier. Still have to win games of football and tactically they have been a little bit naive with some of the stuff they've done. It's, someone has to say it. They've got to get...
To be expected from an inexperienced manager. I called it out. I said last week Mark Conley shouldn't have went into the role. Mark Conley was director of football. It was a good appointment. Mm. Mark would be good in the role. They should have got someone else in to manage the football club. That decision has been made, so we've got to get past that now.
Yeah.
He has now got the reins. He's going to make mistakes. I like the way Derry City are playing. I think they'll win more games to keep them comfortably in the league and possibly finish fifth.
Is there a solution here where an old hand can go in there alongside Mark?
Yeah, well, I mean that would have been something I would have been voting for. I mean, to bring Mark in as director of football and then quickly appoint him as the manager. I mean, I don't know Mark. I don't know if he wants to be a manager long term. If he wants to be a director of football, I don't know what's going on within the club. But to me and to Vinny's point, I would love to see a Paul Hegarty back there, a Peter Hutton, a Sean Hargan, someone who understands the club, the history of the club. Now, Mark's won an FA Cup with the club. He does understand the club, and when he communicates that, you get that feeling. But I agree with you, Steve. I would like to see someone else in helping him.
Yeah. Vinny, just Dundalk, we've talked about quite a lot. How do you think Kilduff is looking at this now as a real opportunity, like against the Derry side that, you know, are a little bit vulnerable, albeit they're away from home here, Dundalk?
No, and this may sound like I'm contradicting myself, but Kilduff will know.
Not for the first time.
Yeah, Duff will definitely know that he's heading into one of the toughest places you can. When Derry are really good and away to Derry, outside of the obvious pattern, Bowles away, I think, and obviously Rovers, I think that's the most difficult fixture. Derry have outstanding footballers. Spot on tactically, and they exploit the weaknesses of Dundalk, they do really well. But if they're not at it, the game has gone against them. Duff will sense that. And Duff will know it's a really, really difficult game. I just think Derry are favourites because they're at home. And other than that, there's not a lot between the two teams. I think if it was in Oriel Park, I'd probably make Dundalk favourites.
Gareth, I know Stephen Bradley came out after that game against Derry City on Sunday. I saw the comments like where he was talking about, you know, people questioning the character of his players and that kind of stuff. It was framed in a couple, I read a couple of pieces about it. It was kind of framed as him having a dig at the media. Now, I don't know if that's exactly what he meant, because I watched the interview and he didn't really kind of say who he was aiming his ire at, because there was a section of Rovers supporters who are really angry with the way last Thursday went. So, like, they've had three cracks at Europe. They were unable to get into the group stage. Like Bradley himself said before the season started, Europa League group stage was their target. And then they don't get any. But then they go to Derry City, and when there's a huge question marks around them, especially in away form, they pull that one out of the fire. So where are we sitting now with Shamrock Rovers at the moment? Because we've seen the worst of them over the last 7 days, but we've also seen the very best of them and that character that Stephen Bradley was talking about.
Yeah, and let's be honest, Steve, watching the game, Derry for an hour were very good. They pressed them high, they got opportunities, they got chances, and they scored three goals. Shamrock Rovers answered all their critics for me. It was an unbelievable last 20 minutes. And at the end of the day, bar Norris saving from Fitzgerald's header, they could have been beat. But the quality of the goals, the quality of the players coming off for Shamrock Rovers, we know they've got it in spades. But you can't question what these players have done, Stephen Bradley. Yes, of course, we're going to turn around and say that was not good enough in Europe, and possibly going out of the cup wasn't good enough as well. Although I believe that the players that they played against, Pats, actually did okay considering the inexperience, if you like, of the players. But I don't think you can question these players, that Stephen Bradley. They answered a lot up at the Brandywell on Sunday. It was an unbelievable comeback that could have turned them into a victory. But I can see where he's coming from. Listen, we have to question him. For me as a fan, of League of Ireland fan, we want Shamrock Rovers to come back into the pack a little bit. But the other side of it is we want the other teams to go towards Shamrock Rovers. We want it to be competitive. So this is a good thing for the league. But I don't think Stephen Bradley or the players will be that worried. They've still got a commanding lead in the league.
Vinny?
Yeah, I think it's a bit like Kevin Doherty's comments. I mean, I've huge respect for Stephen Bradley. I mean, Barrett touched on it, they were good for an hour, and that's going back to the original point. That's the point. He probably brought Olyanka on too early and went defensive and allowed Rovers go into the game, and that he did. I think huge special mention before I forget, Will Fitzgerald's pass is one of the best. Like, Graham Bourke wasn't even, and Bourke has become one of the best players of all time the more he goes on. Graham Bourke doesn't even head the ball, it hits him in the head almost, if you know what I mean. It's that good of a cross. But Bradley says we can't question this group of players. Well, we can. And the really simple fact is, I just have a team sheet in front of me.
Yeah.
Corey O'Sullivan, Adam Matthews, Matthew Healy, Adam Brennan, John O'Sullivan, Tubbo Ali, Michael Noonan, all started, and you could nearly throw out McGinty there. They aren't seasoned league winning group of people. Brian Bourke is, we know that. Jack Bourne is, who went off. We know that. So we were questioning them, and they've answered a question very loudly on Sunday. They've been helped all season by what's underneath them, in terms of the two chasing them. And, for example, what Derry did the other day, not getting the fourth goal. They've been helped. That would be seen as a criticism. It's not. Which is what we spoke about last week. Rovers were in between. They're rebuilding this football team. All those young players I mentioned will probably win a league title this year. You'll have 100 appearances behind them. Some of them, like McGinty, will have two league titles, and all senior players, blah, 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 blah. And they're the ones to check. Patch in 2 or 3 years' time, when they're the next race, Lopez and Cleary, the next bunch of that. So my criticism is not personal with the two behind, but they've not put this team under pressure. And we are right to question that group of players I've mentioned, because they haven't won enough league titles yet, and we should have put them under a bit of pressure to see, are they as good as we all hope they are and think they are? So, but Bradley's like all managers, I've booked myself. I don't listen to the media. But then a week later, he's telling us that the media are out of order for questions.
Yeah. So, well, I said, again, I don't know if he was. completely directing at the media, because I said that was the framing in some of the pieces, but you kind of listened to what he was saying, like he could have easily been talking, that there was a lot of supporters were giving out about them on social media, and I wonder was it partly to do with that. So we're not too sure. I wish maybe, you know, managers will be a bit more specific in who they're having a go at. Make our jobs a bit easier.
But Steve, I think the biggest thing for me, and what we've finished touching on it there, they have got the steel that very few teams have. Mm. They have got the real, the Pico Lopez, the Grace, the Clearys, the people that have been around the league. They didn't panic at 3-1. You could see that. Obviously, they have a load of good players to come off the bench, but they did not panic at all. They sussed out the game. They saw Derry were, if you watch the first goal, they saw Derry were pressing them high. They just clipped it over the top, and Burkett's on the end of it and crosses it for Noonan. And it's just it's like a switch going. But that's what Derry, Pats, Bowes, they're missing those three or four players who are not the most talented players, because all the teams have got loads of talented players. They're looking for that 10% in the changing room that are basically mentality monsters, that doesn't matter how they're going, they know how to perform every week in, week out. And they, a bit like Daryl Horgan, they can play 28 games, 90 minutes, no problem, and the performances are high. So that's to me what Rovers have and the other teams are lacking.
Yeah, Rovers are brilliant champions. You should have got to a group stage of conference. Irish champions should get there in the championship. If you don't, whether Bradley likes it or not, I'm not saying it's easy. He didn't like that word easy in one of the interviews he done. But you should be getting there. If you win early, you should be getting.
I saw the teams that they played. They were all winnable ties. You know, even go back to Ararat. They were all winnable ties. I didn't think Ararat, they're a good side, but they were a side that Rovers definitely could have knocked out. And it definitely was an underwhelming campaign by their own very high standards, which they've set over the last couple of years. They've got Shelburne next.
Steve, sorry, just on that point as well, Ararat, Coops, all these teams, right? It's just because Rovers have done well in the last 3 or 4 years that they were supposed to beat them. Like they're decent teams. You know what I mean? Derry played Coops and did well against them. They're not a bad team. It was just
Gareth, you shouldn't have even needed to beat Coops, because you should have won games before that. Coops was a bit of bad luck in the sense of fairly even in the playoff game, but you should have done the work before that. And you didn't. So many. 2 years ago, the Welsh, the Northern Ireland, and the Irish champions qualified for this conference. Conference is set up for nations like us in it, and it should be. They've lost a lot of revenue because of it, and that's for them to deal with internally. And I think it's important to say, they're brilliant champions. We know that. But it's okay to say they didn't do well this year in Europe. Okay.
Yeah. Lads, they are at home, away form has not been good to them this season, but they are at home on Friday night in that rescheduled match against Shelburne. I don't know what's going on with Shells at the moment, Vinny. They had a 1-1 draw at the weekend at Galway United. You talk to people around the place, and I'm not sure if it's all hunky-dory behind the scenes. John Russell is obviously doing his very best to try and cobble together the best team he can to get them up the table. I hear Joey O'Brien might be on the TV this Friday night. There's some talk he might be on Virgin Media. That might be an interesting bit to watch before kickoff, but then you can turn it off and then listen to the live match commentary on Off the Ball. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff. Vinny, how does John Russell go about? Like, it was interesting to see Sean Boyd back in the team there at the weekend. Obviously, Freitas was banned. I know John Martin's got a bit of a knock. So was that more a case of this what they had to do? How does he set up, do you think, going against Shamrock Rovers?
Yeah, I better say Rovers are brilliant again. I've forgotten going to be working at that game on Friday. So just I know it's a short trip home, but just so I can make it safe.
Send Billy down to the post match with Stephen Bradley.
Go back to Shells. Like it's so interesting at the moment. I mean, the break is the break, and you have to deal with it. And whatever. Like outside of that Ajax game, it's hard to say. John Russell's got a big manager bounce. Now, quietly for a few different reasons. I mean, I'm not someone who watches social media, but quietly he seemed to be signing a few players under the radar, half announcing them. It's a little bit, we live in a world of content, and clubs should get up to speed with that and be a little bit better in what they do in terms of social media access for media and stuff like that, because it's the only way you grow the game, and we have to live in that online world. But that aside, I wonder about having seen Paddy Barrett, and when someone like Paddy, if Paddy had an injury, I'd text Paddy and ask him how he is, because it's an injury, is it 6 weeks, you know, I mean, as an interest. But we haven't heard that Paddy's injured. We've just not seen him in the squad since the Ajax game. So it's a little bit strange at the moment. We don't know what's going on, so we're only second guessing. But like I said about Derry, Garrett, yes, they're in a really strong position on 35 points. They've got teams under them. But Els need a win from somewhere. And that late, late goal last week from the Evergreen, Jimmy Cohen, is a hammer blow for them for that journey home back to Dublin. Imagine what that bus is like as a player. So the people are talking about, can Chelsea get a run together to get into Europe or fourth place? They need to just get one or two wins to get the monkey off the back of what's coming behind them. And outside of Ajax, I'm not seeing any green shoots since John Russell's gone in. None.
It seems to me that and Vinny and Steve, you'll tell me, it seems the games kind of take a consistent kind of flow with Shells. Loads and loads of possession, loads of possession, loads of half chances, shots from outside the box. They can't put games to bed, and then they get hit with a sucker punch as well. The reason I'm not a manager is I don't know how to fix it, but the longer this goes on, you tend to agree with Vinny and say they're going to keep getting sucked and sucked and sucked into it, and it's not a massive drop. It's just that the other teams, Waterford, like you wouldn't put past Waterford now to finish above Shells, just with the pure momentum that they have.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I could, you know, you could definitely see that. And I suppose I wonder if they, like this, you know, John Russell's obviously taken over somebody else's squad, two different managers in before him over the last couple of years. There's a lot of, it's very midfield heavy, isn't it? I think, like, it's, you know, when they need something maybe a little bit further up the pitch, that's going to be a little bit more, I suppose, ruthless in front of goal. And that's been a problem for Shells really for a while now. So I don't know what their best approach is going to Shamrock Rovers. I know they've got Cameron Ledwich signed up to a new deal. They've been kind of announcing these player contracts over the last while. The one thing to say about Paddy Barr as well, I know he's been... He's got a lot of abuse maybe from fans over the last while, and I got to say, I really feel for him. He lost his mother this year. This was well publicised at the time, and it was also well publicised how close he was to his mother. And yeah. I really feel for Paddy Barrett, because, you know, I've even spoken to, I won't mention names, but there's a League of Ireland manager who lost someone close to them, and spoke to me about it maybe about a year later and said, look, I needed to get away from the game, but I couldn't, because I just had to keep going next match, and you don't get time to come away and grieve. And I really feel for Paddy Barrett, because I wonder, has that kind of really affected him over the last while? Vinny, you might maybe expand on that.
Yeah, I need to say I don't know, because the reason I brought Paddy up, not know what the injury is or why he's out of the team is, Shells haven't said, which are quite entitled not, but he haven't said he's got knee injury, and I send him a text, how's the knee, get well soon, pal, blah blah blah. But I don't know what it is. The Paddy and his family, his dad and his sisters, all through cakes, and I mean that in the nice, like, really good, good, funny people. He was really close to his family, Paddy was, and the last year mother. But I mean, look, I've seen a small piece from Keith Tracy during the week on the OTB AM slot, and he spoke about some of this as well. I mean, it's probably late in the show to get into this, but it's the lonely old war football. Like, when things go wrong or somebody misses from your life, and I've experienced it where a family member passed away and I had to be at training the following morning, and I had to leave people at home where I couldn't do this or that. Just life moves on very quickly. And then all of them sacrifices you make, and then when you come out of it, the same amount of people aren't there for you because you're away from their club and they have to move on themselves. Anyway, it's difficult. And life is difficult as a manager. Life is difficult as a sports person. There's great highs with it, and you wouldn't change it for the world, but is a difficult. So we don't know what's going on with Paddy. We shouldn't really speculate, and we're not. We're just saying.
No, of course not.
He's a loss to that team, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's
he is. And one of the great League of Ireland's players and characters, you know, he's a great fan, and hopefully we will see him back again soon doing his stuff out there. Listen, we are coming towards the end. We won't get to touch too much on Bowes, Pats in the Cup. I'm going to be at that game for Off the Ball on Saturday, so tune in to Off the Ball Saturday with John Duggan. We'll have updates on that and plenty of post-match from Stephen Kenny and Alan Reynolds. I think it might be better to focus on those two teams next week because, you know, in terms of the title race, they've got big, big games. Obviously, Pats are playing Rovers, Bohemians play Galway United. I just wanted to touch on Waterford Sligo before we go. Now, the Sligo Rovers manager, Darren Purse, obviously Sligo Rovers played. Wait, I know Brona, our producer, has some audio ready to go for us from Darren Purse, but they got beaten by Bohemians on Friday night. They lost 3-0. The goals all scored in the first half, and Sligo are dead and buried. Pretty poor performance by them. And this is what Darren Purse had to say on LOI TV afterwards.
Got beat by the better team. Simple as that. They were too good for us.
That's
in a nutshell, that's the game, you know.
Yeah.
Can I fault my players for their work rate? No. A little bit of naivety in there. They dropped on second balls better than us. When they dropped on the second balls, they were better in possession of the ball. I look at their side with that three that play behind the nine, you know, with Vaughan, I really like him. I think he's an exceptional little footballer. Tierney, they're good players, you know, and they were better than us today. So there's no point in crying about it. We just have to move. Do I expect us to be better? Yeah, but listen, we'll move on. It is what it is.
Is the positives you feel you can take from? Are you happy with the response in the second half from the lads?
But then they took the foot off the gas a little bit. They're 3-0 up. Do they need to? They made the changes to rest a couple, looking at it. I probably did the same. You know, we've got an important cup game next week. We've got two games over the weekend after that are going to be really important for us. So I'm trying to look after probably the elder statesman in the group a little bit. I've learned a lot about myself today. You know, when I look at, obviously, making decisions a little bit earlier. I wanted to make the sub probably 2 minutes earlier. You know, before their second goal. Mm-hmm. If I'd have made that a little bit earlier, would they have scored? Would we be 1-0 down and we're still involved in the game? So there's a lot for me to look over and learn from, but they're too good for us tonight.
Yeah, it's just like a Rovers ball speaking to Darren O'Hanlon there on LOI TV. Gareth, what did you make of those comments?
Yeah, pretty honest, wasn't he? I don't mind the honesty, right? I actually thought that when Graham Coughlan came on, he was very honest with his interviews. But he was also giving us solutions and giving you an idea of how he was going to fix it all. That's what I didn't like about Darren's interview. I didn't mind him complimenting Bowes and how good they were, going into detail on players and how good they were. You got to then swap to your team and go, listen, we've got to get better in these areas. We've got to do this better. And as Vinny says all the time, his players are listening to this constantly. Everybody listens to everything that you say. But it's a difficult position he's in. I mean, the loss of Will Fitzgerald, I think, in that changing room is probably humongous. Mm. Yes, John Russell even was a big loss as well, but Will, the standards, the leadership, the captain, I would say that's had a massive effect on not only the club, but the players as well. But Darren Purse, yeah, he's got a lot of work to do. And again, we said it, he's inexperienced, he's going to make mistakes. He admitted he made the mistakes. He made a load of mistakes not making the subs at the right time. Probably didn't realise how good Bowes were. When you appoint someone like that, you've got to accept that these things are going to happen. But it was probably an appointment for the long term more than the short term.
Yeah, and that's the problem, Vinny, isn't it? You bring a manager in from outside, like it did look like Sligo Rovers weren't ready for what Bowes were going to throw at them. And I'm sure he did watch a few videos and stuff of Bowes, but if you're not in the league for a long time, you haven't been watching Bowes for a couple of years, you haven't got a hope really, do you?
No, and I think some people have made the comparison to Coughlan. I think the chalk and cheese, the level Graham operated at, he would be used to scrapping for when they would. Sligo need to scrap. He hadn't brought a manager into scrap. He sent a message to the dressing room, in my view, that he's given up on staying in the league this year. And Sligo have to look in the mirror as a club and go, is that acceptable? Because the message he sent out was, yes, they could win the cup game this week. It wouldn't shock me. But Sligo Rovers need to be in the Premier Division. Yes, gone down for one season, if you're lucky enough to get straight back up, isn't be all and end all for anybody, and you could maybe survive a full year of that. But The problem will be then coming back up and competing against teams who've got stronger and stronger and stronger. What all these clubs are doing, you look at the likes of Galway now and building a squad. So what Sligo have done is crazy. It was a crazy appointment at the time, and for the manager to come out with that, he's sending a message, as far as I'm concerned, about in that dressing room, that manager's given up. Therefore, don't expect results to change. Sligo have to do something different with that. That's bringing someone in from the league to help him, or a street fighter from somewhere. I wouldn't be happy if it was a player. I wouldn't accept that. I've been in dressing rooms that have struggled, ended up winning playoff games, different things. And sometimes a bit of player power needs to kick in and say, we've got the scrap. It's too big for Sligo to go down without a fight. And while the squad under John Russell might be built for a fight, but the squad Waterford built under John Daly wasn't really built for a fight either. But they're two different things now. Transfer windows closed, etc.
Sure. Sligo got this. Just, you're saying it's not too late for them to get someone else in.
Well, I mean, whether that's if Garrett's right and they're making a long-term appointment of the manager and they think he'd be the right man to bring them up next year, fine. But you've got to make someone else in to do something a little bit different. Who at least knows what balls are going to do, who's at least ready to go and scrap, who's at least ready to make comments that the players go, this fella's going to go to war for me and I'm going to go to war for him. And to accept that, like we've seen for so often, teams go to all of the top Dublin teams and got results, whether it's been Galway, whether it's whoever it's been brought out of the year, Sligo have done it more than anybody under John Russell. And to just think you weren't going to win, I'm sure it's grand, and sure I have to learn because I should have made a substitution. Wow. Like that's like, does Sligo realise how serious this is as a football club? Go down.
I tell you,
go down.
I
and
tell
he may
you
still go down, but go down.
Yeah.
Go down on your sword.
That's what I was going to say, Vinny. They're not far. They're 5 points from Drogheda. Same games played. That's not insurmountable. Like they could still give us a real rabble, and I'm sure they have to play them again as well. So I mean, maybe he's looking for a reaction, Vinny, is he, from the players? I mean, it doesn't come across.
I'll ask you this question, right? Because you've been a player more recently than I have. Would you react to that interview, or would you react to an interview where the manager says? Loses head, but shows passion, shows a little bit of determination. We're ready for this, we're going to do this. You know, goes up there with a structured team, be really hard to beat. Yes, Bowles might still got a goal late in the game, 1-0, maybe 2-0 late, second goal, and really fighting for the cause. Or would you listen to a message where someone came in, but they were very good and not really there? You know, yourself, like, wow.
I can't figure it out. That's why I'm asking. I'm baffled by what he's trying to do with the interview, or he's just being completely honest. He hasn't tried to dictate the narrative. Now I'm sure in the changing room and in the club he's not saying that, but it was a strange interview. And the fact that that Sligo have gone there in recent games as well, in cup games and stuff, and won the game, surely you're going back to those games and going, right, what did we do well in these games? Let's do the exact same. The players are more or less the same. Let's go and give it a rattle. But to go out with a whimper is concerning.
It sure is.
Vinny,
I'm sorry, we have to draw the line there because...
You're the boss. I forgot that.
Sorry. You won't have to put up with me for the next couple of weeks, lads, because as you two are coming back from Spain, I'll be waving at you on the plane as I head over myself. So, listen, enjoy the next couple of weeks.
You're more holidays than Catherine Thomas, you.
I haven't been on a holiday since last year. Anyway,
you say that every year.
Hopefully, I'll hopefully get to see Aaron Ochoa playing for Malaga over the next couple of weeks, or maybe in Troy Parrott at Real Betis. Let's see how it goes. Anyway, lads, been a pleasure. I will be back with you very soon. Enjoy the match over the next couple of weeks. And thank you for listening or watching the podcast wherever you are. And if you're going to a match this week, enjoy, stay safe. We'll chat to you next week.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best in sporting analysis from the likes of Brian O'Driscoll, Andy Dunn, Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Tommy Walsh, Darren O'Sullivan and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.